Attention all Formula One racing fans. Support your favorite F1 racing podcast by donating a cup of coffee today. Our podcast is fueled by your donations, and we rely on your support to keep the engines revving and the content flowing. Don't miss out on the latest updates and analysis from the world of F1. Show your support by visiting our website at buymeacoffee.com/F1racingpodcast and donating now. Every dollar counts and helps us keep the wheels turning towards the finish line. Join us in the race to the top and show your support for your favorite F1 racing podcast. Visit buymeacoffee.com/F1racingpodcast and donate today.
In this week's episode of the F1 Racing Podcast, we analyze the drama at the Saudi Arabian Grand Prix in 2024. We have a special guest, the Ferrari mascot, Cavallino Rampante, joins us, and we get you ready for the Australian Grand Prix, an epic race with a large fan following and high speeds. This is the American-made F1 Racing Podcast.
Welcome to the F1 Racing Podcast, an American-made podcast with the G-forces to hit your G-spot. And now, the man who still doesn't know what drag reduction systems are, your shockingly decent host, Billy Simpson.
Well, well, welcome back to the F1 Racing Podcast, an American-made podcast with the guts to give it to you straight. I'm your host, Billy Simpson, and we have a fantastic show for you today. On the Fully Involved Grand Prix review, we look at the 2024 Saudi Arabian Grand Prix, where Red Bull continued their reign. Sainz had to go to the hospital for surgery, opening an opportunity for Oliver Bearman, who received Driver of the Day on race day. More on that later in the show. Then, Cavallino Rampante, the famous Ferrari stallion, will join us on the podcast to talk about all the new things that have been shaking up the Ferrari garage lately. And lastly, we get you ready for the 2024 Australian Grand Prix, one of the most attended races of the season. But before we jump into this high-flying, action-packed, and many other descriptive hyphenated word pairings, let's take a quick break for our sponsors.
Are you a sports enthusiast or just like to be entertained with wholesome fucking fun? Well, then check out Us Playing Through on Instagram and YouTube. Go behind the scenes with a hilarious couple that have fallen truly, madly, and deeply in love as they navigate various topics like playing golf, watching Formula One motorsports, and cooking, all from the perspective of a couple just playing through this thing called life. Go to Instagram and YouTube to like, subscribe, and follow Us Playing Through and stay up to date with our latest posts and videos. Link is provided in the episode summary.
And it's time for the F1 Racing Podcast Sports Book. Let's see, in the previous week, my bet stats again, I went 5 for 5. That's 2 weeks in a row. But this week, I had a 37% gain over the, I believe it was a 15% gain last week. Here's a few of the bets that I put in. Russell head-to-head with Hamilton. Picked Russell there. That was a minus 225. Won that one. Red Bull drivers, both in the top six. That was a minus 350. Nailed that one. Red Bull drivers finish in the top 10. That was a minus 400. Nailed that one. Verstappen for the win, minus 400. Got it. Perez, the winner without Verstappen, was a minus 165. And I got that one. Now, I haven't looked at the upcoming bets for the Australian Grand Prix, so I'm not really going to be able to post them here or talk about them here on the podcast, but I'll try to post them throughout the week so you can keep up to date with the bets.
Here are the top 10 drivers championship standings. P1, Verstappen with 51 points. P2, Perez with 36 points. P3, Leclerc with 28 points. P4, Russell with 18 points. P5, Piastri with 16 points. P6, Sainz with 15 points. P7, Alonso with 12 points. P8, Norris with 12 points. P9, Hamilton with 8 points. And P10, Bearman with 6 points.
The Fully Involved.
The Fully Involved.
The Fully Involved Grand Prix Review.
All right. Let's talk about the 2024 Saudi Arabian Grand Prix at the Jeddah Corniche Circuit, a street circuit, the second fastest track after Monza and the second longest track with the most corners of any F1 circuit. Last year, it was a one-stop race, and this year followed suit.
Round 2. The Formula One STC Saudi Arabian Grand Prix 2024 takes place at the Jeddah Corniche Circuit. The first Grand Prix was hosted here in 2021. The circuit length is 3.8 miles. The total race distance is 191.7 miles and 50 laps. This is a counterclockwise circuit with 27 corners and 3 DRS detection zones. The current lap record is held by Lewis Hamilton in 2021 with a 1 minute 30.734 seconds lap time.
In the news leading up to the race, at Sky Sports F1 posted a story on Instagram saying, Audi agreed to full Sauber takeover ahead of 2026 entry. They went on to say the German manufacturer now agreeing to increase an initial 25% purchase of Sauber shares to 100%. They must not like what they're seeing from the existing staff. Looks like there's going to be numerous layoffs at Stake F1 Sauber team in the coming years. Also in the news, at Motorsport.com posted a story on Instagram about a quote Hamilton gave when asked about the Red Bull, Horner, Jos Verstappen confrontation about the investigation into Horner. Hamilton was quoted saying, he's not part of the team, referencing Jos. He's a parent. So that's just an opinion, but it's definitely not helpful. I couldn't agree more. Max is a grown-ass man and should fight his own battles. If he wants to stay at Red Bull, that's his prerogative. But if he lets his daddy dictate his future and which team he's going to drive for, he could just ruin his chance at being one of the all-time greats with many, many championships. But that's not really Max's MO. He said he doesn't need to win 7 or 8 championships in F1. He's already accomplished everything he wanted to. Also, before the racing action, they have the team representative meeting. It's usually the team principal for various teams. And this week in the press conference, Alpine announced that they will now have 3 technical directors at the factory. Famine, their team principal, says they will change how things are done at the factory. Aston Martin picked up the technical director that Famine let go. Williams said Sargeant needs to start showing results. Red Bull's Horner received all the questions from the media, causing Mike Crack to just throw the microphone down. And the host shrugs with disgust at all of this. Horner dodged, ducked, dipped, dived, and dodged them, finally bit back, blaming the overblown situation on the media and telling them to leave his family alone. He ended with a public service announcement, and I quote, "Don't prejudge, wait for the facts, wait to see what is the reality before coming to a judgment." I'm not sure Horner has spoken with Jos since last week's argument after Bahrain. When asked about the attack on his character and having his reputation ruined, he started by saying he's married, but he didn't say happily married. If there is such a thing, and he reiterated that the media better stop intruding on his kids. I believe the tactic by the media was to continue beating the same drum, asking Horner rephrased questions to make him angry, lose his temper, and break his confidentiality agreements. Horner's phrase of the week was, "It's time to move on. It's time to move on. It's time to move on." And then the bombshell was dropped with some breaking news on the day of qualifying. Oliver Bearman will replace Sainz for the remainder of the weekend due to an appendicitis and requiring emergency surgery. Sainz was in the garage on race day to watch the proceedings. At Nate Saunders tweeted, "Ollie Bearman is the first F1 driver born after Michael Schumacher who had won all seven of his titles. I feel old." Ditto, Nate. In free practice one, Stroll hits the wall so hard his wheel covers fly in the air and the pit crew had difficulty removing that tire. This must have been a peek into the goings-on during the race, because on lap 7, something very similar happened. But I'm getting ahead of myself here. In qualifying in Q1, drivers from both Alpine and Kick Sauber were eliminated, and Sargent, of course. In Q2, Bearman, the guy who's standing in for Sainz in Ferrari, Bearman narrowly missed his chance at making Q3, and he started the race P11.
Here is the top 10 starting grid for the 2024 Saudi Arabian Grand Prix. P1, Verstappen. P2, Leclerc. P3, Perez. P4, Alonso. P5, Piastri. P6, Norris. P7, Russell. P8, Hamilton. P9, Tsunoda. P10, Stroll.
On the formation lap, Gasly from Alpine has mechanical issues. He starts the race, but his gearbox went kaput. He DNF. Penalties. Perez and Tsunoda, both with 5-second penalties for unsafe releases during a pit stop. The most penalties of the day goes to K-Mag. He wins that award for Bonehead of the Week for receiving the most penalties. He incurs 20 seconds of penalties. The first one for causing a collision with Albon. The second one for leaving the track and gaining an advantage. 10-second penalties for each. And this is when we find out there was a rule update. I wasn't aware of this. Penalties for causing a collision and gaining an advantage while going off the track have now been heightened to 10-second reprimands instead of the 5-second reprimands they were giving last year. So if you went off track, gained a position on someone, didn't give it back, you would have gotten a 5-second penalty last year. This year, it's 10 seconds. We learned that. Leclerc takes the fastest lap, and his temporary teammate, Oliver Bearman, receives the most votes for driver of the day.
Here are the points finishers for the 2024 Saudi Arabian Grand Prix. P1, Verstappen. P2, Perez. P3, Leclerc. P4, Piastri. P5, Alonso. P6, Russell. P7, Bearman. P8, Norris. P9, Hamilton. P10, Hülkenberg.
Red Bull. Let's talk about Red Bull. Max wins with his 100th podium and 9th win in a row, stretching back to last season, and now the Red Bull team breaks the 4th place tie with Williams for all-time wins at 115. Perez narrowly loses out to a front row start to Leclerc by 16 thousandths of a second. Perez finishes the race 13 plus seconds behind his teammate and 5 seconds ahead of Leclerc. Red Bull's domination continues. Ferrari. Leclerc's fastest lap and finishing with the last podium position. Bearman is the 776th F1 driver, 97th driver for Ferrari, 68th driver to score points on his debut. Bearman's neck gives out after experiencing 5G in sector 1 for 50 laps, and he ends up, you could see this on social media, he dents his car, like the side panel where your helmet rests, because of all that force. But he does get driver of the day and finishes P7 in the points. McLaren. Piastri followed Hamilton for the majority of the race with DRS, but couldn't make the move. On lap 35, Piastri gets past Hamilton, brakes later, locks up, runs off track, and Hamilton takes back the position. At this point, though, Hamilton still hadn't pitted, and he did go in shortly afterwards. After that, Alonso was the nearest car in threat of challenging Piastri for P4, but Alonso was held at bay as the Australian would not let him cross the 1.2 seconds behind him mark. Piastri finishes P4. Norris jumps the start, but no further action is taken after a race director review. Now, I thought he jumped in real time, and Russell even signaled that. You could see that, and he even talked about it over the radio. He said Norris jumped. But after going back and reviewing the footage, it looks like he knew when the lights would go out, but he second-guessed himself, so he let off the gas. I highly suggest you check it out if you have the means. McLaren put on a great show. For the team whose cars are performing much better than they were last year, one or two more upgrades could send this team to the second step of the constructors' podium this year. Aston Martin. Alonso was solid all weekend long. He had the second fastest time in FP1, the fastest overall time in FP2. He qualified P4 and finished the race P5 behind Piastri by almost 4 seconds at that point. Alonso continues to get the most out of his car, while his teammate doesn't quite have the same storyline. He hits the wall in FP1, and even though he was in the top 10 during each practice session and only 5/10 of a second separated qualifying places between P5 and P10, he only started the race P10. This demoralizing amount of positions between he and his teammate Alonso, who Alonso's up in P4, and he's back in P10, it must have fucked with his head, because on lap 7, he hits the wall, crashes into the barriers at turn 23, he DNF, and once again, Alonso brings home the lone points of the week, a familiar pattern we're accustomed to from last year. Mercedes' performance was not representative of a second place contender in the Constructors' Championship. Both drivers were sprinkled in the top 10's fastest during the practice sessions and qualified side by side where they started the race, Russell in P7, Hamilton in P8. Even though both drivers start on the same medium tire, they were on very different pit stop strategies. After the early safety car during the Stroll incident, Russell pitted for the hard tires, while Hamilton stayed out. Hamilton held off Piastri for a majority of the race until his mediums gave way. He pits for the soft tires with 14 laps left and finishes P9, while Russell finishes P6. The team has a lot of development work to concentrate on if they're going to compete for a second place spot in the championship this year. The good news is it's early, so they still have plenty of time, but so do their competitors. Let's move on to Team Haas. K-Mag had a sick strategy. He was deliberately driving slow during the race so his teammate Hulkenberg could stay in the points and 17 seconds ahead of them, but he hadn't pitted yet. Their strategic efforts pay off with points for Hulkenberg and K-Mag, and the 11th, who K-Mag was P11, Hulkenberg finished P10. Haas finished 11 seconds ahead of Albon, their nearest competitor on the grid at P12. Looking good, Haas. Great strategy on the track. Great performance from Hulkenberg, and Magnussen was able to hold him off. Yeah, I mean, great performance. Love to see that. And they're among the last, you know, teams that didn't have points, and they did score point this week. So they're not in that list. But next up, Williams is. They have 0 points. Sargeant continues to disappoint as he clips the wall on FP3, ending his session before he set a timed lap. He failed to make it out of Q1, and on race day, settles for P14. The bright note here is that he finished the race. Yeah. Albon's weekend was a little more representative of how the Williams team is faring this season. He qualified P12, missing out on Q3 by 0.4 seconds. He followed the pack's one-stop strategy and narrowly misses out on a points finish and finishes the race at P11. Team principal James Vowles is getting the team on track and wants to see results from Sargeant, but I'm not sure he's gonna be with the team much longer, Sargeant. The brightest star is Albon, and he's getting everything he can out of the car in terms of performance, but has yet to get on the scoreboard. Next up, Alpine. The struggles are real here. There was a glimpse of hope during FP2 when Gasly was 9th fastest overall, but when qualifying came around, both drivers failed to make it to Q2. On the formation lap, race day, Gasly reports problems with his gearbox. He started, but DNF shortly after. They have a shuffle in the back offices going on, so the focus on development of the car seems secondary for the moment. Let's keep an eye on them, and hopefully they can pull out of this. Next up, VCarb. It was a tough week for their team, and it looks like Tsunoda got the most out of the car this weekend. In qualifying, Tsunoda shows glimpses of speed as he starts the race P9 ahead of Aston Martin's Lance Stroll. The race didn't treat them any better though. Tsunoda drops 5 spots, finishing P14 with Ricciardo directly behind him, losing 2 positions throughout the course of his race. Red Bull's B team drivers were both passed by their parent team and finish 1 lap behind the competition. Next up, Stake F1 team. This team has a garage that is struggling. For the second week in a row, Kick Sauber Stake F1 team delivers a lengthy, poor pit stop and a lengthy name for their team. Zhou Guanyu didn't help the situation when he crashed his car in the final free practice session. Stake F1's already strained garage was not able to fix Zhou's car in enough time to allow him to get in a lap, so he started in last place. Bottas was unable to make it to Q2 and finished the race second to last. Zhou finished right where he started, dead last. Turmoil is abound at Stake F1, and there doesn't seem to be any evident solution in the near future. As for the tire strategy that won, a one stop with a start on the medium tires, switching to hard tires during the safety car, won the race. Norris, Hamilton, Hulkenberg, and Zhou Guanyu didn't take advantage of the free pit stop during the Stroll-induced safety car. Norris, Hamilton, and Zhou's teams slipped on the red boots, while Haas put on the hard tires. Hulkenberg benefited from this strategy, combined with some help from his teammates driving Miss Daisy strategy when he started P15 and finished P10. And there's your 2024 Saudi Arabian Grand Prix. Now, to summarize, it's looking more and more like last year as Red Bull leads the pack to victory by 18 plus seconds this week. But if you look at the constructor standings last year at this point, it's only been 2 races, versus this year at this point, you can find a few interesting things. I saw a post by @motorsport.com that covered this, and just wanted to talk about it. So this year compared to last year, Red Bull this year is in P1 with 87 points. Last year was in P1 with 87 points. No change there. Ferrari this year is in P2 with 49 points. Last year, a little bit different. They were in P4 with 26 points. So big improvement there. McLaren this year, P3 with 28 points. Last year at this time, P10 with 0 points. The biggest improvement this year is McLaren. They're in P3 currently. Next up, Mercedes this year in P4 currently with 26 points. And last year at this time, we're in P3 with 38 points. So they're trending downwards. Aston Martin this year, P5, 13 points. Last year, P2 with 38 points. Also trending down. Haas this year, P6, 1 point. Last year, P8 with 1 point. So they are outscoring the people without points this year, but still only 1 point at this time last year as well. Williams this year, last place, 0 points. But last year they already had a point and were sitting P7. So it's been shaken up quite a bit this year in the standings, and I think it's very representative of what happened at the end of last season, but also what's carrying over into the development that's happened in the off season, what we were to expect. So looks to be a good one this year.
Here are the Constructors' Championship standings. P1, Red Bull with 87 points. P2, Ferrari 49 points. P3, McLaren 28 points. P4, Mercedes 26 points. P5, Aston Martin 13 points. P6, Haas 1 point. Williams, Kicksauber, VCarb, and Alpine are all scoreless.
And now, we welcome a very special guest to the show, the one and only Cavallino Rampante, the Ferrari brand ambassador. So Cavallino, I'll jump right into this. I know a lot of exciting things have been happening at Ferrari in the garage and elsewhere. What can you tell us about that?
Oh, hey there, Mr. Podcast Man here. Yeah, old man, we got a lot been going on. We got a new stable boy. The company stock profits are good, so the shareholders are happy. Let's see, what else? Oh, yeah, the biggest news of all. I'm finally all caught up on my back child support payments.
Oh no. You gotta stay up to date on that stuff, man.
Oh, I know it. I'm caught up now, but you know, when you've been studded up, spreading your golden seed across the Italian Alps like I have, it's difficult to keep up with all 10,000 plus offspring.
Jeez, that's more than Wilt Chamberlain's sex count.
Well, now don't give me too much credit. Rather, just hold your horses now. You see, I'm still technically a virgin because my golden stud seed specimens is gathered and sold with helping hands, if you're picking up what I'm putting down. Now, I'm not complaining, but it would be nice to slip in the tip. Just once.
Oh, come on now, Cavallino.
It pisses me off because Ferrari, they get all the stud fee money, and I get stuck with blues jazz balls and a mountain of child support, man. It's like Ferrari getting pole, but knowing he'll never finish the race in her number one podium position, if you know what I mean.
Well, alrighty then. Moving on now, the news I really wanted to talk to you about, Cavallino, was a little more public, like Sainz having an emergency appendectomy, Behrman making an impressive showing, getting driver of the day. And the biggest story of all, Hamilton joining the Ferrari team in 2025.
Huh? Well, that's strange. When I heard they brought Behrman, it was a surprise because I thought a few bears in Canada or something went all picnic style on the Behrman. Or was that the Grizzly Man? Anyway, But I didn't know about Sainz or any surgery or anything. I just thought they finally got rid of that no-talent deadbeat. and Hamilton joining Ferrari? You nearly had me there, man.
No, really, Lewis Hamilton will drive for Ferrari in 2025.
Well, this is rather heartbreaking. I knew those corporate suits were yanking my tail. I joined open tryouts to become the next F1 Ferrari driver. And they told me it would be against regulations to drive.
Why is that? Because you're a horse, or you weigh too much?
No, man, that's just cruel and rude. It's because we would exceed the allotted horsepower by a factor of one. Get it? I'm one horsepower. One extra horsepower.
Yeah, very funny.
All right, I gotta let you go. I'm meeting with my accountant to get ready for tax season. Take it easy, Mr. Podcast Man.
All right, well, we'll catch up later. There you have it, folks. Cavallino Rampante, the Ferrari brand ambassador, and horse emblazoned on their famous logo. You never know what you're gonna get on the F1 Racing Podcast. Let's get you ready for the 2024 Australian Grand Prix at Albert Park Circuit.
Round 3, the Formula One Rolex Australian Grand Prix 2024, takes place at the Albert Park Circuit. The first Grand Prix was hosted here in 1996. The circuit length is 3.3 miles. The total race distance is 190.2 miles and 58 laps. This is a clockwise circuit with 14 corners and 2 DRS detection zones. The current lap record is held by Sergio Perez in 2023 with a 1 minute 20.235 seconds lap time.
Last year at the 2023 Australian Grand Prix, there were only 12 classified finishers. The crazy circumstances that took place dictated the pit strategies for the race. And you can relive all the action by listening to last year's F1 Racing Podcast for the 2023 Australian Grand Prix.
Here are the points finishers for the 2023 Australian Grand Prix. P1, Verstappen. P2, Hamilton. P3, Alonso. P4, Stroll. P5, Perez. P6, Norris. P7, Hülkenberg. P8, Piastri. P9, Guanyu. P10, Tsunoda.
This year, expect nothing short of a spectacular show like we saw last year.
Attention all F1 Racing Podcast fans. Do you love the thrill of high-speed races and the excitement of watching your favorite drivers compete for the championship title? If so, you won't want to miss our F1 Racing Podcast. But we need your help to keep our podcast running and bring you the latest updates and analysis from the world of F1. We rely on your donations to cover production costs and bring you the best content possible. Visit www.buymeacoffee.com/F1Racing Podcast and donate today. Every minute counts in the fast-paced world of motorsports, and we need your support today to keep our podcast on track. Visit www.buymeacoffee.com/F1Racing Podcast. Your donation will help us keep the engines revving and ensure that we can continue to provide you with the insider scoop on all the latest news and race highlights. The website is www.buymeacoffee.com/F1Racing Podcast. So don't wait, donate now to help us keep our podcast going strong at www.buymeacoffee.com/F1Racing Podcast. Every dollar counts and helps us keep the wheels turning. Join us in the race towards the finish line and show your support for your favorite F1 racing podcast at buymecoffee.com/F1racingpodcast.
In conclusion, Red Bull continues to dominate, and Stake F1 Sauber continues to disappoint. Ferrari was lucky they had a driver like Bearman to step up and put some points on the board with his 7th place finish. He is 10th in the driver's championship standings currently, but that's probably going to be his last finish of the or his last race of the season. Now, had Sainz been available to drive for Ferrari, they definitely would have put up more points, but they made the best of a bad situation. McLaren, more specifically, Piastri made a statement, finishing P4, 4 positions better than his teammate. Aston Martin looked great, but they'll need both drivers to account for points if they'll be competitive this year. Mercedes are looking worse this week, and they have their work cut out for themselves. Haas, both drivers worked as a team. Well, maybe not both, but at least one worked as a team to capture a point and secure P6 in the Constructors' Championship. Australia is next, and it should be a hell of a race. That about does it for today's F1 Racing Podcast. I'd like to thank my fans in Costa Mesa, California, Bentonville, Arkansas, Littleton, Colorado, and many more for having the courage to listen to this amazingly informative and entertaining podcast. And to everyone else listening to this, yes, that means you. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast, share it with all your friends and enemies, follow me on Facebook, The X, The Gram, The TikTok, and YouTube at F1 Racing Podcast, and give me a shiny review on Apple Podcasts. Till next time, be good or be good at being bad, whichever you do better.
You've been listening to the F1 Racing Podcast. Tune in next time to see what Billy will say next, and for God's sake, buy him a cup of coffee at our website. The website is buymeacoffee.com/F1 Racing Podcast.
Mon leadership, ma façon de faire, c'est de vraiment de